teaching material. Number two, faith is victory. Yesterday we studied that the greatest crisis of our life is not the pollution in the environment. It's not the economic downturn or anything else. The greatest crisis in our life is sin. And this is a universal issue. Because according to the Bible, yesterday we studied, everyone sin. There is only one person who had no sin. Is Jesus Christ. Other than that, everybody sin. How do we know everybody sin? There is an undeniable, unavoidable fact is going to happen to us to prove everyone have sin. What's that? The result of sin is what? It's death. The cause of death is sin. If you will never die, then you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ because you have no sin. Since everyone will die, that means everyone has sin. God told Adam, the day you eat, you shall die. And that kind of death has two meanings. The first meaning is physical death. The second meaning is the spiritual death. Do you remember Jesus Christ say, there was a disciple asked him, let me go back to home to bury my father and I'm going to follow you. What was the answer of Jesus? That the dead bury dead, right? If you go to the mortuary and you see the dead wake up, bury another dead, then you will be scared to death. Right? So the dead wake up and bury another dead. Right? So when Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury the dead, what does that mean? The one who can bury the dead is the one who is still alive physically. But spiritually, he is dead. The one who needs somebody to bury is physically dead. So cannot move, just lie down there. So that's the reason need somebody to bury. So from what Jesus say, we already know when Adam commits sin, there are two kinds of death will come to us. First, spiritual death. Spiritual death means spiritually we have no life. Physically we are still alive, but spiritually we have no life. What does that mean? Spiritually, we cut off our relationship with God, the source of life, the life itself. And eventually, after we live tens of years, we will die physically. So, the reason we know everybody has sinned is everyone die. So how can we resolve the sin? And that is the issue we are going to discuss in this section. How can we resolve sin? Do you remember Jesus in the book of Acts talk about under heaven, there is no other name rely on which we can be saved. Okay. Can you find it? Where is it? We'll ask a lot of questions so you can think about. Where can you find under heaven there is no other name rely on which we can be saved? 4:12, right? Acts 4:12, yes. There's only one name rely on which we can be saved. Yes, there are a lot of religions. Right. Yes, there are many founder of religion. But there is only one Savior. Which means a lot of founder of religion are not Savior. And Savior is only Jesus Christ. Now, why? How come only Jesus can save us? No other people can save us. Huh? He had no sin, so he can save us. Very close. Very close. How can Jesus save us? Huh? Yes, overcoming death. Yes, yes. Very close. How can Jesus save us? Why he can overcome death? Why Jesus can overcome death? Huh? Because God allowed it. Very close, very close. Jesus can overcome death. We already mentioned the cause of death is what? It's sin. So in another word, Jesus can resolve our sin. So that is the reason he is a savior. But in another words, apart from Jesus, there's no way we can resolve the sin. Only Jesus Christ can resolve sin. So he is the only one savior. In the Bible, say God is what? The Bible say God is what? Huh? God is love, right? And then God is what? Huh? God is just. And then God is what? God is spirit, right? God is holy, right? And holy and just are actually related to each other. Because he is just, he is holy. Holy and just means sinless. God is sinless. So God is glorious. So the way to heaven is a path of righteousness, right? Psalm chapter 23. Even I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I feel no evil, right? And the first part talk about the path of righteousness. He lead us in the path of righteousness. What is the path of righteousness? Because the city of God, kingdom, is a righteous city. Right? There's no sin there. So God himself has no sin. And the kingdom of God has no sin. And now I'm a sinner. So, how can I reconcile myself with God? How can I be qualified to go into the sinless kingdom of God? How? The only one way is to resolve the sin. If we cannot resolve the sin, we cannot go there. And there are two ways to resolve the sin. Now we come back to the point A. Righteousness is indispensable. Righteousness, the words of righteousness, it comes from where? The root word is right. So righteousness means everything is right. Right? Can you find any righteous person in the world? Can you find any righteous person in the world? Yes or no, or you don't know. Can you find any righteous person in the world? Probably, right? Okay. According to Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was what? Hey, look into Acts chapter 10. Verse 22. Anybody read aloud? Acts chapter 10, verse 22. Nobody can read. Fasting and prayer, you have no strength to read, right? Acts chapter 10, verse 22. You talk about Cornelius was a just man, and some of translations say Cornelius was a righteous person, right? He was a just person, right? And God is a God of just. Then in this way, should Cornelius believe in Jesus? Does Cornelius have to believe in Jesus? He's a just person. Look, how did angel told Cornelius? Chapter 11. Chapter 11. Verse 13 and 14. Right? Brother, read aloud. You see, the sister can read so aloud, right? A brother is supposed to be manly. Yes, read aloud.
He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.
Okay. So the angel appeared to Cornelius, right? He had to call upon Peter. And when he come, he had a message for you, so you and your whole family can be saved. So even Cornelius was considered just, but the angel still say, you had to ask Peter to come. He has a message for you so you can be saved. Oh. If Cornelius, the righteous person, did not invite Peter to deliver the message, can he be saved? No, according to the Bible, right? And what did Peter do when he went into Cornelius' house? That is recorded in chapter 10, verse 34 to the end. Peter introduced Jesus Christ. Now, he is talking about Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. And Jesus Christ is the door of judgment. And Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He can make peace between man and God. So later on, Cornelius received the baptism. Why does Cornelius need to receive the baptism? According to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, why did Cornelius need baptism? Hey, brother, why did Cornelius need baptism? A righteous person. What is the function of baptism? Hey, you just put a lot of questions there, right? Is that considered baptism, right? What is the function of baptism? To wash away the sin, right? Then why did Cornelius, a righteous person, need to receive the baptism? Why? He already a righteous person, a just, a person of just. He need to receive the baptism because to wash away his sin. And how come a righteous person need to receive the baptism to wash away the sin? And we understand there are two kinds of righteousness. The first of righteousness is among human beings. I compare to you, you compare to me, I compare to everybody, right? And when we see a person who is a very, very good person, very, very good behavior, then we consider a person as a righteous. This among human standard, a righteous. Oh, but according to Isaiah, all our righteousness in the eyes of God are filthy. All our righteousness in the eyes of God are dirty. Do you know? You buy a white cloth, right? After you wear 1 year, the white cloth still white cloth, right? You buy a white cloth, right? After you wear 1 year, the white cloth still one white cloth. Yes, it's still white cloth, right? But if you compare that white cloth with the new white cloth, what do you find? It's not so white, right? A little bit darker. So the white color gradually fade away. So what does that mean? Comparison speaking. Right? When we compare with the righteousness of God, everybody has sin. Okay. So then how can we receive the righteousness? We are righteous in the Bible, that is like a white cloth. So the revelation, there are two kind of white cloths. Without putting on the right cloth, white cloth, you cannot go to see God. So righteousness required for reconciliation. There are two ways. According to, let's see, Romans chapter 9, verse 30. The book of Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Anybody read aloud?
Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not been the law of the righteousness.
Okay, continue chapter 10, verse 1 and 2.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. 2. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Okay, the last verse 3. Now, according to what we just read, right? How many different kind of righteousness? How many different kind of righteousness we can get? According to what we just read, there are two kind of righteousness. The first kind of righteousness is the righteousness of man. The second kind of righteousness is the righteousness of God. And according to what we just read, what is the righteousness of man here talking about? The righteousness of man is talking about keeping the law. That's called the righteousness of man. We observe the law from the time you were born until the time you die, right? So God cannot judge me as a sinner. Why? Because I keep all the laws. I never offend one law. I am a righteous person. I can go to heaven. That's called righteousness of man. Right? Another righteousness called the righteousness of God, which means God prepared a white garment and will give you free. And that's called the righteousness of man. And there are another way to describe it. The righteousness of man comes from works. What do works mean? Works means your behavior. You are so good to a point that when God judges us according to his law, we are perfect, righteous. That's called the righteousness from works. Another is righteousness from faith. Faith means you believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ count us as righteous. That the righteousness come from faith. Oh. So there are two kind of righteousness. And verse 10, chapter 10 talk about the Israelite. They have zeal, but not according to the true knowledge. They have zeal. So you see the Israelite, so zealous. Every day, according to the law, right? They have to burn the incense, offer the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they have how many sacrifice? How many festival? How many sacrifice? How many festival? Seven. Oh, seven what? Festivals. And five sacrifice. They are so zealous. Oh, very zealous. But not according to the true knowledge. What is the true knowledge? True knowledge means the righteousness come from Jesus Christ. So they try to rely on observing the law to become a righteous person. Is that possible? In our whole life, you can observe the law? Is that possible? Most of you drive, right? Most of you drive, right? Ever since you get the driver's license until time, you never get a ticket. Raise your hand. Oh, so many. Oh, probably you never try, right? After I get driver's license, I never try. Huh? But if you try often, you never get a ticket, or you're a good driver. Try defensively, right? Oh. But a lot of time, we get a lot of tickets. When I was in New Jersey, I have so many points. I had to see the judge. Please forgive me. Otherwise, I have to, my driver's license will be revoked. But later on, I use a cruise control until now. 15 years, I never get a ticket. Thank God. I have to thank God. You know, just like the Ten Commandments. When you think deeper, every day we offend at least one or two commandments. Right. What is the ninth commandment? Do not bear false testimony, right? Means do not lie, right? Those who never lie, raise your hand. Thank God nobody raise a hand. If you raise a hand, you lie. Right? Okay. Only the ninth commandment we always have seen, right? Oh. How about that? Look into it, right? How about eighth commandment? Do not steal, right? You say, I never steal. But if you read the English, the children Bible, what the children Bible say? Have you read that before? The English children Bible? Do not take whatever is not yours. Oh, this is very clear, right? Do not take whatever is not yours. All right? Have you taken something not yours? Out of school? Out of the place you have internship? All right? Then what? Then you have sin. Right? Tenth commandment, what's that? Do not covet, right? Did you covet? It's inside your heart, right? Seven commandment is more, even more serious. Oh, more serious, right? About 1 year ago, there was an article in New York Times. It talked about the university in East Coast, especially talk about East Coast. And it talked about hookup. They don't have time to invest in relationship. But they still have that kind of lust for need. What did they do? Just hook up. We can hook up. All right? So seventh commandment is so serious. And Jesus Christ elevated the second commandment. He talked about, if you see an opposite sex with the lust for thought, you commit adultery in your heart, right? If a person had no lustful thought, why you watch that kind of movie, right? Okay, so we have seen. How about Sixth Commandment? Sixth Commandment says what? Do not kill, right? Your abortion is kill. But Jesus Christ said you should not hate. Anybody never hate anybody. Raise your hand. Right? We all dislike hate in our heart. Right? No. So they have sinned. The Fifth Commandment, honor your parents. Oh. How to honor your parents? You can summarize in one word, right? Make your parents happy. Right? We have sinned. So it's impossible to become righteous person by keeping the law. No. You know the monk, right? The Buddhists, they have some kind of the people they dedicated to Buddhism. They have to put on a very what dark color clothes and shave the hair, right? If men and women shave the hair, wow. And what hold in your hand? What hold in your hand? Is that called bead? Right? Why do they hold the bead? Oh, because your mouth keep on reciting some Buddhism words, and they use the hand to count the bead, so their mind can concentrate on the words they are reciting. Why? To distract their mind from thinking something evil. But that is not effective way to overcome sin, because sin is so powerful, right? Sin is a power to control us. It's impossible to overcome sin by that way. So you see, all the monks, they live in where? All the monks, they live in mountain, right? Why live in mountain? No temptation there. Oh, right. They just withdraw themselves from the world. Oh, that's not the right way according to the Bible. So the righteousness of man is almost impossible to obtain. If you offend one law, you become a sinner. Oh. Now, human being, we become hopeless, right? I want to go to heaven. I want to reconcile myself with God. But under the law of God, I have sinned every day. So what can I do? There are two ways to do, right? The first way is what? Remove the law. Remove the conscience. Become, then you have no standard to judge our sin. But law itself is good. Right? Law itself is good. United States is a free country, and free country doesn't mean you don't have to observe the law, right? If today the government says, from today on, we are free. When you go drive the freeway, you want to drive on the left side or right side, it's up to you. Do you like this? Do you like this? It's free. You can drive wherever you like, right? Oh, it will be very terrible before you drive back to home. Probably you already reached heaven. Right? Now, today on, right, since you like to drink so much, right, even after you get drunk, you still can drive home. Do you like this kind of law? After you get drunk, you still can drive home. You don't like this kind of law, right? You drive very carefully, if still somebody will hit you. So law itself is good. It's good. But because human beings' nature, we cannot keep it. The same with the law of the Bible. Can you pinpoint any law of Ten Commandments is no good? Just use the Ten Commandments. Any one of the Ten Commandments is no good? Everyone is good. The reason nowadays the society is chaotic, not because Ten Commandments there, it is because we cannot keep it. If you keep the ten, everybody keep the Ten Commandments, then the door don't need to have a lock. Your car don't have to need a lock. Your internet account don't have to have a password. Oh, right. Why? Because everybody keep the commandment. Oh, the reason so many problems, because we don't keep the commandment. Oh. So law itself is good. Oh. So law make us become sinner. It doesn't mean law is not good. Law make us become sinner because we human beings, we are now no good. We have sinful nature to do something against the law. Oh. So now what can we do? Since law is good and law make us to be a sinner, so what can we do? There's one way out. And that's what exactly the book of Romans is talking about in chapter 4. Chapter 4, we come back to chapter 3 first. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophet. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus Christ. Oh. So now, how can we obtain the righteousness? Right? Very simple. Right? We just believe in Jesus Christ. And then we are justified in which moment? After I believe in Jesus, I'm justified. When am I justified? After I believe in Jesus, when will a person be justified to become sinless? A brother, hey. Baptism, yes. You believe in Jesus Christ and receive the baptism. In that right moment, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sin, and we put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we recognize with the God in heaven. So believe by our faith and receive the baptism, and we are counted as righteous. So that is the way provided by the Bible for our more effective way to deal with the sin. Now we look into the point B, the faith of Abraham. So this kind of justification by faith actually happened 1,000 years ago. It's not happened only 2,000 years ago. It happened in the time of Abraham. Then look into chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. So what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, been found according to the flesh? Verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So God considered Abraham a righteous person not because of his works, not because of his behavior, but because he believed whatever God said to him. And because of this faith, God considered Abraham as a righteous person. So this is the first person being counted as righteous by faith. Also verse 6, chapter 4, verse for. If you go to work for somebody, and after you completed the work, somebody give you some money, it is not grace. It is what you are entitled to, because you pay a price, right? You labor and somebody give you monetary compensation. It's not grace. And what is grace? You never do anything and somebody give you some money, and that is called grace. So we don't have the works, we don't have good behavior, but we believe in Jesus Christ, and Jesus counted us righteous, and this is called grace. Oh. So the Bible says, salvation comes to us through grace. Oh. Justification comes from grace. Oh. And point one, the God Abraham believed in, chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It's written, I have made you a father of many nations. And in the presence of him who he believed, even God who give life to the dead and call those things which do not exist as though they did. So the God Abraham believed is the one who can make the dead resurrected. It is something impossible to become possible. It can create something out of nothing. Can you do it? There's a brother can play magic, right? Can you create something out of nothing? If you can create something out of nothing, then you don't have to work. Every day just do the magic and money come out. All right? The only one can create something out of nothing is God himself. He only speak and something come out. Right? There's animal and animal come out. There's flower and flower come out because he is God. So Abraham believed in this almighty God, and because his faith, so he was considered righteous. So since God is so mighty, so powerful, so it is possible you believe in him, he can make you become righteous. Right? If you believe Confucius, if you believe the founder of Buddhism, they are all human beings, right? Even they cannot resolve their sin. You believe him, how can he resolve your sin? It's impossible. No. But if you believe in God, the Almighty God, he can do something out of nothing. Then he can remove our sin. Point two. Abraham had faith in God, so he was imputed as righteous. So chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. So when we become a righteous person, we have nothing to boast about. The only thing we should say is give thanks to God. So today, we become righteous, not because of works, but because of our faith. And even the faith was given by God, you know. If God don't give us the faith, we cannot believe. Even we believe, it's because God give us the faith. So God's promise fulfilled. What was God's promise? What did God promise Abraham? God promised Abraham a land. His descendant will become a great nation, right? At least they're pertaining two parts. The first, he is going to have a son. The second, God is going to give him a piece of land, right? When the children multiplied and dwell in that piece of land, then it's become a nation. That's what God promised Abraham. And when he was 75 years old, he keep on waiting to have a son, right? Until the age of what? 99, almost 100. Have you ever seen a man to become father? Have you seen any woman over 90 start pregnant? Have a baby? You never see it, right? Well, the Bible says Abraham's body like a dead. same with Sarah, like a dead body. Because older men, older women, but still, they were able to conceive a baby. Why? Because God, he believed, is the one who creates something out of nothing. He's the one who was able to make the dead resurrected. And this is the God we believe. His promise fulfilled. So today, if we believe in God, yes, his promise will be fulfilled. There will be a piece of land waiting for us. What's that? When Abraham reached to Canaan, his heart was not in the physical land. Where is his heart? According to Hebrews chapter 11, his heart already in heaven. In heaven. So today, we believe in Jesus, and we are justified. We are going to inherit a piece of land. And that piece of land is something spiritually in heaven. So, justification by faith count as righteous apart from works. So, nobody can protest. God is unfair. Do you know that murderer that killed so many people, right? I am the one who do a lot of charity work. And he can go to heaven. I have to go to hell. There's no comparison. Why? Because he was a murderer because he did not know Jesus Christ. But after he knew Jesus Christ, he believed in Jesus Christ, and he received the water baptism, so he was justified by grace. And I am doing a lot of charity work, but I am so proud about my own good deeds, and I fail to believe in Jesus. I'm not so humble to admit I have sinned. I don't want to accept Jesus Christ, but in the eyes of God, I'm still a sinner. So that is the reason he can go to heaven. I cannot go to heaven. Why? Because a good man always rely on their own righteousness. The sinner always rely on the grace of God. And in the end, they make a lot of difference. Why? Because God's grace and God's mercy. So sometimes we encounter the truth seeker. Sometimes I feel very pitiful and also feel admired. Some people say, like me, I'm do everything according to my conscience. Like me, I have to do so many good works. Will God put me on the hill? Sometimes we are very thankful the person do a lot of good work, really. But we also feel very pitiful. The person don't know himself. Why? Because he did not know God. So he did not know himself. Standing before the mirror, God himself, all our thought is transparent. All our sin will come out. The last one. And righteousness brings us eternal life. And justification reconciles us with God. So, Jesus Christ can resolve our sin through our faith to believe in him and through receive the baptism. So faith is victory. Help us to overcome sin and help us to overcome death. Because once we have no sin, we have no death. And bring us reconciliation between God and man. Let's pray in silence.